Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
It would help if I had the volume up, microphone. Yeah, so hopefully we'll be doing, we'll be back at our home studio this weekend for a couple of days. We'll see how things go. I don't know. We'll see. Again, for the time being, I am mobile. So, what's going on out there? A lot's going on out there. So we have new viewers, new listeners all the time here. This year things have exploded, and we're going to go back to one of our flagship presentations here. I got a lot of comments, and Jim, this doesn't sound exactly very hoppy and or anything else. That's true. We have to work in reality. There's a lot of people out there in the safety industry that, I'm sorry, damaged goods. You go on and you see any of these psychological, I mean, they talk about psychological safety. You see a lot of these people that are abused. One company I know, they went through a whole number of safety professionals this year because they came in and they felt they were bringing in baggage from other, let me turn this down. We are broadcasting on Safety FM Live. They bring a lot of baggage from other companies. It's like they're damaged goods. It's sort of like, I have a lot of, at least I had, a lot of issues with my wife when we first met and we got married and everything else. I didn't have problems with her, but she had like a problem with perception. She was like, well, so let me get this straight. X, Y, and Z is happening. Any other company, the people would have been fired on the spot. Yes. Yeah, they probably would. So you mean to tell me these companies that you work with, a lot of them, they have people there who break rules, break this and do that, antagonize and everything else. The company doesn't discipline them. They don't fire them. They don't do anything with them. I said, no, we're not even talking with human organizational performance where you're going to be disciplining people over nonsense and everything. And, we're getting away from that. That's a traditional way of managing things, right? We're talking, now, stuff that wouldn't fly in a general industry or in an office environment happens out there on construction sites, environmental cleanups, shipyards, and all the like all the time. And over the years, what I found out was people I'm searching for words. A lot of times they're against you. And it doesn't mean that everyone's against you. One or two people, because they have their history with safety professionals also. We have that song known as, half jokingly, we've been playing it here, you give safety a bad name. There are safety professionals like that. There are safety professionals that are abusive. There is one particular facility in New Jersey, and they have other branches in Pennsylvania. They're pharmaceuticals. One pharmaceutical in central New Jersey. I think everybody from central New Jersey in the industry knows which one I'm talking about, where literally you had people who were abusive that were safety professionals because they were in the whole thing of shame, blame, retrain, that damn zero accident sign that we complain about all the time, and everything else. And they were just bullies, right? Literally, and this is what we came up with. And so what happens is when you have an environment like that, you also have the counter side. If you're going to treat people like shit, they're going to also treat you like shit. Now, typically a safety person, especially back in the day, we have resources. Now, back in the day, there were no resources. It was along the lines of South Park with Cartman from South Park. Now, you will respect my authority, blah, 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 blah. And no, this is the kind of stuff that you would go on. And what happened was I got involved in politics in the early 2000s. And I came across this whole thing, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And you can say, okay, well, Rules for Radicals, I heard of them. Aren't they using politics? Yeah, they're using politics all the time. But they also apply to the workplace. You can use them to manage people, which I don't recommend you do. But you need, oftentimes, the people you're managing that are working against you, right, against safety, and that is, I'm finding out, the majority of, the lower level safety people out there. People were often, I'm not going to listen to a 25-year-old or 30-year-old. I'm 45 years old, 50 years old. I'm a very experienced person. I know when to wear safety glasses. I know what the procedures, and screw you. And guess what? The management often supports those people. Why? Because they're willing to gamble that their known's going to get hurt. And you know what? The way things are, you can foreseeably, an average construction worker starting their career today and working for 40 years will never see a major accident because of the designs that go into tools, different ways jobs are set up, or anything and things of that nature. So they say, well, why should we do this? And we're going to figure out ways to F with the safety person and everything else. So I developed this whole thing. I said, no, we have to apply. And this was early in the podcast, career. I developed Rules for Radicals, pushback strategies faced by safety professionals. At the time, I did not offer any solutions, but as we have gone on and I've gotten input from other people and we've gotten more experience, sometimes I do offer solutions with this, but I rely on the people in the field who are experiencing stuff. The sharp end of the stick, they're the experts in their workplace. They're probably the best able to address these things, and they know the context that they have to deal with. So we're going to go right into that with the Rules for Radicals and cultural pushback strategies here, right, with this. So we'll do the share screen. All right, so this is what we have here, right? 13 cultural pushback strategies faced by safety professionals and other people too. This applies to multiple work things. So soft skills are missing from much of our industry. We have situations out there where we don't have the right training. We don't have people often get into the safety industry by accident. I think that's well documented on all of our podcasts here on Safety FM. Where, I was in production and then I went into safety. I was in this, I went into safety. I got hurt, and I went into safety. I got retired, and I went into safety. The work slowed down. And then I ended up, whenever there is a work slowdown, layoffs, everybody automatically becomes a safety professional. And some of them stick with it, some of them don't, right, with that. And also, I have been a magnet, working as a consultant. Often they put you into toxic work environments. A lot of the safety issues out there are better off handled by human resources. Well, what do you mean, Jim? Human resources. Well, a lot of times the human resources does not want to do their job, or they don't want to piss people off because you have personal relationships. So they don't want to piss you off, piss them off, and the employee off. So they hire somebody else to piss them off. Then they can say, well, that effing consultant, that effing safety guy. Well, we got to deal with him, right? And that's what's out there. That's what we have to deal with. That's what comes with us. So what ends up happening is a lot of people do not have the soft skills. The other thing is this. We just got out of the COVID crisis here. It's 2 years. A lot of that you could see out there, and a lot of the what's the word I'm looking for? A lot of the situations that we're dealing with out there in the field are still because of COVID. Why? Because COVID was called to be managed by whom? The safety professional. Safety professionals managed the COVID policies. So what happened was if people didn't like the COVID policies, then all of a sudden, the safety person's fault. And if we look back at the congressional report issued in December 2024, the COVID After Action Report, you can see a lot of the stuff out there we got wrong. We got a lot of it right. A lot of the stuff we got wrong. Just this week, for example, Moderna is not being, there was some controversy with the Moderna vaccination. Things going on were, all different shenanigans and improprieties and everything else with that, how this stuff was approved, how it was used, how it was recommended, where people lost their jobs, lost their careers and everything. And it often fell on the safety professional to actually go out there and enforce the rules. Well, I don't want to enforce, I don't want to piss off my workforce, so therefore we're going to hire somebody else. The other thing is this. Often we're hired because human resources doesn't want to get involved. Well, maybe we can build a file on the safety and then get them that. Or maybe I don't have to worry with that guy because it's the safety. Or I have a job to run. I don't have time to worry about hard hat and safety issues and corporate culture. Now, for example, the project I'm working on now, they don't have that philosophy. If you're a person who with the quote-unquote, everything I just described, they're gone, and they're proving that you can make money doing this, just getting rid of people who don't, quote-unquote, get in the program. We're not talking bad apple theory here. Far from that. So, for example, if you go out there and you start cursing at your fellow coworker, guess what? You're probably not going to last at the company. If you go out there and you're involved with not following work rules and safety rules, guess what? Up to a point, they're going to coach you, but not really. With that, eventually, that's the way it goes. And it's a very different type of work environment that I'm in, and it is a rarity in the industry. So now going back to the rules of radicals, right? Soft skills are missing in our industry. And we will try not to go back and forth too much more here. So ultimately, attitudes and values are what contribute to your safety culture, negative safety culture, or even a positive. And it makes your job so much harder. How do I manage a work crew or person against me? Right? So Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky is not only about you managing people, right, and things of that nature, it's used to prevent change in an organization. So a lot of times you want to go from one part of a culture into another part of a culture, there's a lot of resistance, and these are some of the things they're going to do. They're going to sound familiar. So why are we hired? Corporate stewardship, contract requirements, regulatory insurance burdens require a full-time person to manage safety compliance, insurance issues, a visit from a regulatory agency, that can be OSHA or any other ones, or a catastrophic incident or high accident rate, right? Often safety issues are human resource issues that HR cannot or will not manage just the way it is with that. Some criticisms of the rules. I'm going to be upfront. It's an us versus them mentality. We're trying to get away from that. But just because I'm trying to get away from it doesn't mean that other people are, right? It doesn't mean anything. If I'm trying to do something, unless we, and that's where leadership comes in. We have a leadership thing that we talk about. Can we use negatively and positively? Or, and knowing what you are up against gives you an opportunity to plan with this. All right. Now, here we have, rule number one, power is not what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Right? Rule number one. So here we go. Rule number one. Right? I have worked here a long time. Right? I am, insert your favorite relationship or association. I am a family member here. I am a cousin. I'm an uncle. I'm a nephew. I grew up with the guy. Doesn't matter. Right? Don't rock the boat. So it all comes down to is don't rock the boat, right? And you cannot do your job, right? They're with this. You'll later find out the person is usually full of it. Often we are hired to get rid of these people. So you got to know how to handle this. How do I handle it now often is, well, was I hired to get rid of this person? So rules number two and three, old-fashioned game of distraction. So with that, if you're in a meeting about a safety issue with someone, expect old-fashioned game of distraction. If you're in a meeting about safety issue with someone, expect the Chewbacca defense. What is that? From South Park. I already mentioned South Park, right? Chewbacca defense is a strategy where a criminal defense lawyer tries to confuse the jury rather than refute the case of the prosecutor. Is an intentional distraction or obfuscation with that. So what does it come down to? It comes down to this. Someone goes and they say, you say, well, hey, you got to do X, Y, and Z. Or you ask a good question. Why, you know, why is this going? What's the context? It's like, well, why are you doing this to me? You got to talk to Frank, right? Over there, right? You got to go to Frank, and then you go and you find out Frank is no longer with the company. There is no Frank. There is no that problem doesn't exist. So rule number two, never go outside the expertise of your people, and whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Lesson learned from the Super Bowl, first stick to what you know. If you know, if your only experience with excavations is planting flowers in your garden, you don't claim you're an excavation competent person. Believe me, that happens all the time. This will make you look bad. Do your homework and research and always ask questions. Don't make statements. Rule number three is use against the safety person as a means of deflection from the safety issue. Do safety professionals usually get into this dispute? An argument between an industrial hygienist and a construction safety person. There's a problem with silica exposure here. You need to do this, whatever. Construction or safety guy or worker, why do you bring this up? We have problems with hand safety and overwhelms and intimates industrial hygienists. They essentially change the story, then go into something that they're familiar with, leaving the IH intimidated. And of course, they refer back to rule number one. Hey, I've been here a long time and all of that other stuff and threaten your job. games of distraction with that. Rule number four is simple. Make the enemy live up to their own book of rules. Now, why do we do that? That's the other thing. This goes, and there's a couple of things out there that I could say with this. Make them live up to your book of rules. So, don't make up a rule that you cannot enforce, right? Don't make a rule that you can't enforce or don't plan to follow yourself. If you're not going to do that, right? So, they're going to make you, right, live up to your book of rules here, right? Here, make the enemy live up to a book of rules. So, right? Rule number five, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. Very little you can do to defend against ridicule. Right? They're going to ridicule you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going, and everything else. People do that all the time, whether it's in front, up to your face or behind your back. And I would say, adopt the Marcus Aurelius's philosophy. Don't take yourself too seriously, dude. Don't do that. Don't get upset. Don't show them. Don't let it see you sweat. It brings out more of this behavior. And get the leadership on board with safety. The whole thing is to get the C-suite up and running on safety. When the workforce leadership likes you, all of this usually stops because what are they going to do? Start laughing at the leadership, rule six and seven, right? A good tactic is one your people enjoy, and a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. So what do you do with this? Couple of different things, right? Learn an activity that the workforce enjoys. It's easy to do. Hopefully it's cheap, right? And gives results. The opposite gives the opposite results. Nothing is more of a drag than using an old safety program that doesn't work, is stale, is irrelevant, and the workforce cannot relate to. So what happens here is the, how does this go, right? This goes sort of like this. Jim. For number six, right, I came up with an idea at the Bayway Refinery when we were working there, where they wanted a cheap safety incentive, and the Bayway Refinery has very long parking lots, extremely long. So if you're, at the time they were assigned for different trades and things of that nature. So if you got the gouverneur end of the stick, it was like a half a mile walk in the morning. So you end up having to be there a half an hour earlier, then catch a bus once you got in and go to your work area. And it was the same thing. End of the day, you get out at 3:30. Now, by the time you get out of the parking lot, it's like 6:15. 4:15. Right. And it would drive people up a wall. So I said, why don't you make the safety incentive that you get a good parking spot? Well, it got poo-pooed. That's the most idiotic thing I ever heard. Blah, 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 blah. And then a week later, somebody came up with the idea. The person who was saying it was the worst idea in the world said, oh, I thought of an idea. It was like something out of a movie, right? Why don't we give out free parking spots? And everybody looked at her like, really? Really? Didn't he say that last meeting? He never said that. That's my idea. All right? I don't need a pat on the back, but I'm just telling you this is the way people are. So what ends up happening is cheap and easy way of doing things, right? So with that, so number seven, right? A tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Again, keep things fresh. People like things going well. And the other thing is, I was having a conversation. There is a very well-known, nationally known construction company that had an incentive in. It was a $40,000, $50,000 prize at the time for lack of injuries, right? And what, so that's a zero accident sign, right? You, that's there for a year where there's going to be like a lottery. You're going to win this big, huge prize. And about 11 months into the year, 11 and a half months into the year, someone reports a carpal tunnel syndrome situation and ruins it for everybody. And these construction guys had not been reporting injuries all year and, getting hurt, not reporting things and doing everything else to get that to that zero and keep it at zero, almost killed the person for doing that, literally. And the woman had to move to another office cross country. Right. Complete nightmare scenario. So that's something that you don't want to have. That's why we don't have types of incentives like that. Right. So no, keep things fresh, new, right? What happens? Sometimes all of a woman, worker wants is literally a pat on the back, right? Here, hold on, on the air. Sometimes that's all a worker wants, a pat on the back, some appreciation. They don't want cash. Maybe, you know, they don't want more swag. Maybe they want a nice, different kind of pair of gloves. Different pair of, safety glasses. Something like that, right? Find out what they like. And with that. Now, here's the other thing, our next thing, right? Where we get people that want to keep the pressure on. Well, Jim, what does that mean? Keep the pressure on. So, could take many different forms. One of the forms that could be is, right? Once they find a weak spot, they focus on it and undermine you, right? So being successful and filling the gaps to your knowledge, preferably with their help, is one way you can get them on your side. So in the human organizational performance world, what do? We try to get the experts in the work to help write the plans, help do the assessments, help do everything. You know, a worker will often say, I'll say, well, where can we fail? What can we do better? What can we do? They say, oh, yeah, we could do this, 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 and this. We could do this. And I've been using the Brent Sutton question. Now, what do we do here that is dumb? What do we do here that's dumb, that doesn't make any sense? Got to be careful. You may not like the answer. This is the other thing. Include them in discussions as a subject matter expert, right? With you. Rule number 9, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. So I don't think that needs too much of a explanation, but there are ways that you can handle that. So you're going to say, well, Jim, how do I handle that? A couple of different ways. You could take the or else. Well, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you don't leave, well, I'll take the or else. Well, what's the or else? They could threaten you right now. Now, this is why I have the line, and it's always in there. Do I have the authority to hire? Do I have the authority to fire? Do I have the authority to discipline? Do I have the authority to reward? Do I have the authority to make changes? 5 things on that. So if there's, they threaten you, then, well, we're going to do blah, blah, blah. Well, bodily harm, obviously, you got to do the appropriate thing and report it to the authorities or maybe even human resources, what have you, take it up. But someone threatens you, usually they're full of guvno, number one. Number two is the threat is worse than the thing. I'm going to get blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, great. One of my lines that I use now is, okay, we're not going to do that. Okay, so can I have that in writing? Or I'll put it in writing. Or So we're all going to break federal law together here. Is that what the idea is? Well, what do you mean? Well, this all goes back to the hazard risk hazard matrix table, right? Where some people use numbers on that, right? And whatever number you come up with that says this, the person making that decision also often has zero risk. Zero risk to their career, zero risk to their bodily injury or anything else. So what's my point here with this, right? They make it the threat. Go ahead, do it. And then one of the best ones I had was, I'm going to tell so-and-so that you did it. And I say, let's get him on the phone right now. Go ahead. Want to get him on the phone? Get him on the phone. Go ahead. Oh. Sometimes they take you up on it. It's like, okay, hey, this is what the thing is. This is what your plan says. This is what the law says. This is what common sense says. And everything else. Why? Well, sometimes it works in your favor. Sometimes it doesn't. You got to take that risk. The minute that you get letters after your name, your standard of care, generally speaking, goes up. And this is the other thing, right? If you're a salaried worker, you're supposed to be more or less they're paying you as a subject matter expert. They're paying you as a professional, things of that nature. Well, how does the hourly employee view that? Right? So, they got your back. You just got to know what you have to work with on that. All right? Number 10. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that maintain that pressure from rule number 8. Right? So, again, now with that, got to share a screen up here again, right? So we have rule number 9. Let's go to rule number 10. Right, your imagination, right? Getting back to rule number, your imagination is your own worst enemy, and don't let your imagination run wild, right? So here we have the major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. This comes in many forms. Again, all problem issues come the same day. So don't think that that's coincidence. Often it is, sometimes it is coincidence, often it is not coincidence. Where all problems come the same day, really? There's a coordination here? Contact you on days off for non-urgent issues. So you're on vacation somewhere, and what do? They contact you. I can wait till Monday when I'm back in the office. I'm in the middle of the woods, camping. I'm out on the water, fishing. I'm out with my family doing whatever I do with my family. And here you're calling me over this baloney, right? This is harder to do now that we have cloud services. Change paperwork, lose paperwork. I got to correct that there. Lose paperwork, then blame you. Happens all the time. How do we respond to that? You keep organized and upload everything to the cloud. So I make it a point on Fridays, especially Fridays, I make sure all the paperwork is filed away that I need to file. This way, we don't lose it. This way, it's in where it's supposed to be. The other thing is simple steel resources, something as simple as a dry erase marker for a presentation, right? Taking equipment. They know that you have to do a presentation, and somebody goes, and what do? They take away that dry erase marker that you were relying on, right? So easy fix on this one. Bring your own dry erase markers and everything else, right? Again, that happens all the time. Just simple sabotage could be the other thing. What do you mean simple sabotage? People sabotage things. one of the, you know, Tape keyboards. You know, that was back in the day. That used to be a good one, right? With that. Now, the next one, rule number 11, I never had a really good way of explaining it right here with this, but let's try to do this again here. For rule number 11, right? Here. If you push a negative far enough, it will break through to its counter side. What does that mean, right? If you, right? They focus on one thing at a time. They keep focusing on it again and again and again and again, right? This is kind of hard to do if you're in our situation. We can make it work against us or for us. So big thing is with PPE. You're not wearing the right PPE. Why should I? You're not wearing the right PPE. You're not wearing the right PPE. You're not wearing the right PPE. Another thing is that there is an obvious hazard that never gets fixed. So every meeting that they have, you bring this up. When is this going to be fixed? When are you going to be, when is this going to be fixed? We've been telling you about icy walkways in the morning. People are going to get hurt. When are you going to get that fixed? Right? Now, you got to be careful at work with that one. Right? You got to be very careful with that because, you know, with that. This was the next one, right? Rule number 12. The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. What does that mean? Don't just criticize. Give a solution. Go from no because to yes if type of thinking. All right, so people like to criticize. People criticize, blah, blah, blah. Well, what's your solution? Sometimes you're not going to be able to give a solution. You don't have the expertise or anything. That's when you ask questions. You know, hey, how will we handle this? Hey, how do you think we should handle this? Like Jay Allen says in his new book and that whole trilogy, right? Ask better questions. Rather than just ask better questions with this stuff. The other way we can do this, huh? Don't go from no because. No, we can't do that because it's in the rule book. No, to say, yeah, we could do that if. Right? How? Yes, if. From no because to yes, if kind of thinking. Rule, right? Rule number 13. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Divide and conquer is one way that we do that. So old-fashioned bullying is what we're looking at. So, right, how do we do that? Not including you in meetings or not telling you about meetings you really should be at. Oftentimes, organizations, they exclude people from meetings. They're the safety person. It's very important for safety professionals to attend meetings so they know what the hell is going on, right? So they know exactly what is going on out there so they can able to anticipate the hazards. So, for example, we're going to be doing X, Y, and Z. Okay, do we have a plan for X, Y, and Z? Do we have a the right training for X, Y, and Z? Do we have the right equipment for X, Y, and Z? Do we have that? No, that all goes into that. Breaking equipment that you need. I was on a job, right, where they actually went and they broke all the air sampling equipment, so I couldn't do air sampling. Back in the day, before you had companies out there that would actually deliver things right to your job site within an hour or 2 hours notice. Why did they do that? Because they were afraid that if I brought up something, I'd shut down the job, right? Unreasonable time frames. Rushing an accident investigation. Remember, OSHA has 6 months to 6 months to come up with a accident investigation when they do it. Why are we in such a hurry to get it done? Why? That's a long pause. Now, I can see with the initial accident, hey, this is what happened. We had an incident. We're going to be doing this. I get that. You got to do that by the close of business or as soon as possible. Generally, see what happened. But to have a quality accident investigation, you have to have, it takes time, especially with the more complex ones. One of the things that also happens is the blame the employee situation comes up. All right. So what happens is they blame the employees. Hey, it's simple to go, hey, we're just going to go right to the employee and blame the employee. Oh, what about the system that you put in place that allowed the employee to do that and encourage that employee to do that? Why did the employee do that to begin with? Did it make sense at the time? Did that, or was it like belligerent, oh, F you, I'm doing it this way? Very rarely is it F you, I'm doing it this way. It's along the lines of they were encouraged to do that. The system was set up to do that. And everything else that goes into it. All right, that's what happens when you rush an investigation. And if you rush an investigation, you're not going to have a data-driven decision. And most likely you're going to come up with the wrong solution, which is going to lead to things not being fixed, not being repaired, not being addressed, and will lead to other more injuries. That's why you don't do stuff like that. Well, what do you mean you don't do stuff like that? Don't rush investigations with that. But again, that is a way of bullying, and that is rule number 13, right? With that. Right? Divide and conquer. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Do you do that with people that get hurt at work? Well, some companies do, dude, with that. Well, Jim, you work for really effed up people. Yes, I've had Lucas, who used to work for me, said, man, you have worked with some really effed up people. I said, yeah, I have. Maybe I wasn't the best person at the time, but guess what? No, this is the kind of stuff that goes on. And what ended up happening with everybody who works for me is we go through all this stuff. And when they give me a call, I'm like, okay, which rule of radicals was this behavior to this person? And it gets, oh, we're rule number 10, rule number 8, rule number 5. And then, okay, well, how do we respond to this? How do we come up with a plan to this so this doesn't happen again? And, you know, and if it keeps on happening, how come it keeps happening? Are you mismanaging this somehow? Or is this for, right, with that? We had issues with a guy during COVID who refused to wear the mask. And it came down to it, well, it's either your job or his. Well, I'm a safety professional. I'm not allowed to throw the guy off the job. Well, we're still blaming you for him not wearing a mask. Get it on film, he's not wearing it. And it was along the lines of, when you walk away from it, you take the mask off, or when they see it coming, they give everybody a signal. And unfortunately for that group of guys, they were giving the old-fashioned rebel yell from the Civil War used by Confederate troops and adopted by the KKK. So we had a whole KKK contingent on one of my projects during COVID. Eventually, we got, unfortunately, we've got this guy who was refusing to obey any COVID stuff at all, and no protocols, and we were mandated to do it by the client. If we weren't going to do it, we were going to be fired. That's the way it was. And and it turns out when he was finally caught not wearing his mask, we got it on video and everything because, of course, the client doing the auditing would never get anything on video. There's a guy out there not wearing stuff. Well, where's the picture? Well, we got him. What was his reason for doing this stuff? He said he did not like safety people, number one. And number two, he didn't want to work there. They thought that they'd move into another job where they don't enforce any COVID rules or any other safety rules for that matter. And that's not the way it would happen. He ended up being fired. And this was on a Thursday afternoon. And on Monday morning, they got rid of the mask mandate. So, you know, can't make this crap up. Not giving you resources, time, or personnel to do the job. And by the way, I know I'm not gleeful in there, and it turns out the masks really did not help the situation there. However, those were the rules that they came up with in the state of New York, right? Even though Fauci says he never told anybody to do that, well, and he did, right? He didn't tell them to do that but that was after he told everybody to do that, and that was the only condition they were allowing people to work was with a mask mandate, state law, right? And I think one very large company named after a river and a rainforest in South America is still going through litigation because of this with the state of New York, right? No professional training or development. How many times, right, that you go out there and the people, no, companies don't give the safety professionals any training or professional development. I'm dealing with a company right now that they have a guy who's not unlike I used to be at about 23 or 24 years old. And I said, for what you are doing on this project, you should be a certified hazardous materials manager. He said, what's a certified hazardous materials manager? And I explained to him, and it's along the lines of, why didn't the company explain and lay out a career path for him? How come he wasn't career counseled or anything else? I'm going to say put his name out there right now, and I will publicly thank him. I was on a project with a gentleman named John Egan. So let me see where he works now. He's on LinkedIn, and he was this guy where is it? I got him right here. I'm going to out him. His name is John Egan. He's a senior manager and global engineering at Pfizer. All right. He used to work for a company that would do hazardous waste site work. And he took me under his wing and he said, Jimmy, you are 26 years old, I believe I was at the time, says, why aren't you in graduate school? And I said, look, I didn't have the best grades in graduates in undergrad. And, you know, I was discouraged about, that's him. I was discouraged from going to graduate school. And he says to me, well, I tell you what, why don't you do this? He put me on a little career path that led me here to where I am today. So I try to do that. But one of the things that companies don't do is that they do not give you continuing professional education with anything, right? Not giving you a scope of work for a contract. That's another one. Colluding with others, ganging up on you, distracting you from your duties, and construction, doing work that they don't tell you about, right? So, no, there's work that goes on. And my worst thing is blindsiding you with that. So, we're all about mental health, right? And you can say, well, Jim, what about mental health? Well, mental health, safety professional mental health. What do we suffer from often in this industry? We suffer from burnout. We suffer from depression. PTSD, especially if you're a first responder or you're an accident investigator. And I'm going to tell you, if you need help, seek it out. If you're in a toxic work environment, get help or maybe even leave it. And we collect a lot of emotional baggage here. And I know a lot of my friends don't necessarily like him, but I'm going to mention it because I tell you what, he brings a lot of comfort to people. That's Bruce Springsteen. And he said something so very profound in his movie Western Stars, right? So he came out with like a movie, a compilation of songs and everything a couple years back. I don't know how exactly it did, but I got something out of it. He said, the older you get, the heavier that baggage becomes that you haven't sorted through. And so you pay the price. The older that you get, the higher that price is. Right? It means a lot. You got to sort through that baggage that you have. All bad experiences you have at work, those people are still, what's the word I'm looking for? You're still empowering them. You're giving them rent-free space in your head. You let it go. It doesn't matter. Right? So that's what I'm going to do to you, right? What I'm going to leave you with. And with this, right? Changing corporate culture, so corporate safety culture does not happen overnight, but it takes years and years and years to change corporate culture. And understanding these rules will not only help you manage difficult people and situations, but will ultimately save lives. And that is why we are safety people. We're preventing accidents. We're saving lives. We're adding controls, we're adding capacity, we're being the leaders in the field, we're adding resilience into the system. Everything else that goes in there, that's what we're about, and that's what we're trying to, that's what we're trying to do here. So make this stuff a better place. And with that, I'm going to take a commercial break because I haven't taken a commercial break all the whole hour here. So we also got some other stuff here, so.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Polzel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Polzel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
So as far as safety in the news today, not a lot of stuff going on in the on the Department of Labor world. There is some stuff going on. Let's say released stuff in the last couple hours, which is entirely possible here with this. So here we have U.S. Department of Labor pauses Job Corps Center. Job Corps Center operations. U.S. Department of Labor today announced it will begin a phase pause in operations at contractor-operated Job Corps centers nationwide, initiating an orderly transition for students, staff, and local communities. The decision follows an internal review of the program's outcome and structure will be carried out in accordance with available funding. The statutory framework established under the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act and in congressional notification requirements. The pause of all of operations at contractor-operated Job Corps centers will occur by June 30, 2025. As the transition begins, the department is collaborating with state and local workforce partners to assist current students in advancing their training, connecting them with education and employment opportunities. The department's decision aligns with the president's fiscal year 2026 budget proposal and reflects the administration's commitment to ensure federal workforce investments deliver meaningful results for both students and taxpayers. Job Corps was created to help young adults build a pathway to a better life through education, training, and community. However, a starting number of serious incident reports and our in-depth fiscal analysis reveal the program is no longer achieving the intended outcomes that students deserve. We remain committed to ensuring all participants are supported through this transition and connected the resources they need to succeed as we evaluate the program's possibilities. Now, here are some of the things, right? The Job Corps program has faced significant financial challenges under its current operating structure. I'm going to go over and I'm going to share this because people, frankly, aren't going to believe me when I read this here, right? On April, in PY, I think it's a misprint, it should be FY 2024, the program operated at a $140 million deficit. And it's projected to reach $2.13 million in fiscal year PY, 20, again, I think that's misprint, 2025. On April 25th, 2025, the Department's Employee and Training Administration released its first ever Job Corps Transparency Report, which analyzed the financial performance and operational costs of the most recently available metrics in the of the program year. So here it comes down to average graduation rate, 38%. Average cost of student per year, $80,000 plus. Average total cost for graduate, right, $155,600. You can send them for, I'll quote Reagan on this. You can send them for Harvard for cheaper. Right, post-separation participants earn $16,695,000 annual on average. The total number of serious incident reports for the program in 2023, 14,913 infractions, 372 sexual assaults and inappropriate sexual behavior, 1,764 acts of violence, breaches of safety and security, 1,167, reported drug use, 2,702 incidents, and total hospital visits, 1,808, right? So, a lot of stuff going on there. They don't want the liability, I guess, is one of them, and they feel that they're not getting the cost-benefit analysis right on that. So, that's all that we have here for tonight. We're going to go to our outro, and after the outro, we're not going to be on Safety FM. We have some new song. We have a new song that we're going to introduce specifically on Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Happy, happy, joy, joy. So I might be on the air tomorrow. I might not. If you want to hang out with me, I'll be in Woodbridge tomorrow over at Woodbridge Brewery. We're having a watch party with Doc Gooden. So if you want to stop by and see me, there tomorrow. So that's what we got. So for Safety Wars, this is Jim Pulsall.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
walls are made to break. Power, we rise awake. Steel in our veins and fire in our guts. Taught to obey, now we're tearing it up. Slaves to a lie, hell no, not again. With a storm at your gate, with the ink in your pen. Try base the rules, crush the throne. Burn their truths, build your own. Chains don't hold the ones who fight. This is our war, our right, our night. Raise the roots. Pick the target, freeze the flame. Breathe their mask and name the name. Tactic sharp like jagged glass. We take the front, they'll kiss our wrath. Mark. Destroy. Reveal. Deploy. Organize the ways, we own the noise. Train, raise the rules, no retreat. Tear the comfort, bring the heat. From the gutters to the guns they fake. The mob is rising, make them break. Raise the rules. Power is not only what you have, but what they think you have.
Tactics mean survival. Until you rewrite the map, the price of apathy is servitude. No, I just flipped the script.
Try and raise the rules. Raise your fist. They built the line we resist. This is metal for the streets. Blood and justice in the beats. Raise the rules. Metal crew. We don't kneel, but it down. From the ashes, we rise. Armed with rules.
On fire in our eyes.
From the ashes.